Amen, everyone. Come on, one more hand clap of praise for Jesus today. God is good. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming today. Welcome you watching online. It's an honor to have you as our online campus. And I believe that God is still good with 1 hour less of sleep. How many believe that? In Jesus' name, I'm going to write a letter to the governor and petition we change daylight savings time. Don't have it in Jesus' name. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm ready to go here today. And I believe that God is with us. And so welcome, and we're honored to have you. We're in our second week of our series entitled, This Is Us. The idea of this series is really to go off the number one TV show in America as far as the title is concerned, This Is Us, and tie it into you and I and how you and I are really the same and we're walking this out day by day. Did you know that all of us in this room and online are more alike than we know? All of us, just like the television show, as it follows a family, all of us, like them, are navigating our past. And because we're navigating our past, we're trying to walk it out of the best we can in our present. And in our faith with Jesus, we believe that our future is bright, that the best is yet to come. How many believe that the best is yet to come? And so this difficulty called life, walking out all those phases, I believe that we're more alike than we know sometimes, and that all of us are the same, and that we're dealing with something, and that's where Jesus comes in. And that's why we need Jesus, because without him, we're lost, but with him, we're found. Amen? Now, because of this, I believe that all of us are the same, and because of this, acceptance is a massive issue in our life that's important all throughout our lifespan. No matter who we are, our status, our stage of life, all of us need acceptance. And I want you to think about this. If someone invites you to their home, you know, for a party or for a hangout or for a holiday meal or something, that's a big deal. You know, someone's trusting you to come into their home. We don't do that a lot nowadays. I remember when I was a kid, we used to live across the church in what they call the parsonage, and people would just show up anytime. They would just show up and say, hi, how you doing? One time I came down in my underwear, and there was a lady there having coffee with my mom. I said, well, hallelujah, we're all just family here in Jesus' name. But we don't do that a lot anymore. But if someone invites you to their house, that's a big deal. And they're trusting you, and they're accepting you, and they're bringing you into their home. And did you know that Jesus does the same for you and for me? He has an invitation for us to come into his house and to be with him forever, not only in heaven, but to be in his house on the earth. So I want to preach today in the second weekend of this series, This Is Us, a message entitled House Party. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, House Party. Now, Father, I thank you so much for all of the great people in this room. I thank you for all those people watching online. I thank you so much for what you're doing. I pray that all of us would take our next step today towards you. I pray you would keep us safe in this room and as we leave, and we would have an amazing week, and that your presence would be with us. And before we get there, I pray that right now we would lay down resistance, set aside distraction, and then all of us would receive freely from you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. Jesus, in this chapter, he heals someone on the Sabbath. He's proving who he is, and he talks about how that he will gather all these people into his house or in his kingdom. And then a man speaks up and says how amazing it's going to be at that banquet in heaven. And then Jesus speaks up and begins to tell a story to illustrate a point. And I want to read from this today. And I want to show you what I believe is a house party from God for you and for me, and how a church should look like. What is a church made up of? What does this really mean? I want to show you the heart of God and how I believe we're trying to do our best with this. So in the story that Jesus is telling, there's a servant, or a master rather, who has prepared a big feast. He sends his first round of invitations out to all his guests, and all of them make excuses as to why they won't come. You know, one guy said, I have a wife, I can't come. Another guy said, I have five oxen. Another guy said, I have a field. So they made excuses. And I want to start right there in verse 18. And he said, but they all began making excuses. Then notice verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite, notice, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported there was still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. And that's the heart of God. But I want to first define, what does a house party mean? I could maybe ask all of us to give a funny story of maybe a party we've been to in our past. No one? Okay. And so what does a house party in God look like? What does that mean? I believe for the earth, now obviously in heaven, he's preparing a place for you and me. In John 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and my Father is preparing a place, or he is preparing a place for us. Isn't that awesome that we have a place prepared for us in another world through our faith? But in the earth, I believe the house party of Jesus is defined through the local church. He wants you and I to be a part of community. And you and I can be a part of this house party that has acceptance for all people, that has new beginnings and hope and the love of God. You know, this house party functions with weekend worship experiences, and we're honored to have you today. It functions through groups throughout the week that we can be a part of and have relationships and have community and grow with each other. It functions through the dream team, serving from the street to the sea. Aren't they amazing? Come on, give them a hand. The dream team's amazing. In the back, in the kids' wing. It functions through outreach and serving our community and blessing others and being a part of what Jesus wants us to do. It functions with honoring God with our tithes and offerings. It functions with serving one another. It just functions over and over again. So the house party of Jesus in the earth, I believe, is defined through the local church. Now, the local church isn't perfect. No church is. But it's led by a perfect Savior. And the invitation to this house party is an open invitation. I love the fact that Jesus, he's specifically, as he's telling the story, he's given an emphasis on who he wants as a part, as a guest in his house party. I want to encourage you today that everyone is welcomed to this house party. No one is excluded. And it's an open invitation for you and for me. Now, this is very important. Before I break this down in these verses, please just lean in on this. How you and I see God determines what we receive from God. If I see God as a mean man, he doesn't love me, he's ashamed of me, he's turning his back to me, I have to beg him to move in my life, he's shaming me with punishment of sickness and disease, and he's lording over me, and many people see God that way. Now, you know, please note that God has standards. And God has boundaries. And we know this through the Bible. And if we just live as he's asking us to live, God's not trying to keep us from having, you know, a fun life. He's trying to help us have the best life. So God does have boundaries. He does have conviction. He does have standards that he asks us to live by. But in saying that, he sets that up not by lording it or you know, browbeating us. He's a good, compassionate, loving Father. And if you and I will see God this way, it will open us up to receive all that God has for us. I want to challenge you, if you view God in a mean old man, a legalistic, you know, form, or, you know, it's just all rules, or it's this or that, I want to encourage you to evolve and let Jesus move in you into this relationship with the Father, that you have this, I mean, this sonship, this daughtership, I think, you know, with God, that you can be one with him and enjoy God. You can enjoy God. You can have fun with God. Everyone say, God is good. And that's an amazing statement. And so I want to encourage you to think of God as loving, as giving favor, as kind, as gracious, as patient. Aren't you glad he's patient? All this is biblical. He's strong. He's fair. He's forgiving, he's merciful, he's good, he's generous, he's faithful, he's eternal, and so much more. And so the open invitation of Jesus to you and to me is, I believe, a physical posture, if we could see it, because he doesn't send us an Evite. He doesn't send us a mass text. It would be pretty amazing if God texted. Wouldn't that be pretty amazing? I'd be like, whoa. He doesn't do that. But if we could see the invitation, I believe he'd be standing in front of us with his arms out, open, reaching to you and to me. It's almost like, will you come into this house party? Will you come into this party? Will you be a part of my body? Will you be a part of my family? Will you join in my movement? Just kind of like an open invitation. Will you come into the house? Will you come in? And it sounds like, oh, yes, I will do it. And in truth, I think some of us struggle to really say, you know what, I'm going in. If I define the house party in the earth as the local church, that challenges you and me. At times, we're challenged to be a part of weekend experiences. We're challenged to give God our finance. We're challenged to be a part of groups. We're challenged to be a part of a dream team. We have all these things on the inside of us that at times are pulling back from God, but he's just standing there saying, I have an open invitation. Will you be a part of my party and embrace what God has for us? You know, the Bible says in Psalms that God loves every detail of our lives, that he wants every detail of our lives to be touched by his grace and by his mercy. I want to show you what I believe this invitation looks like in the form of a picture. They're going to show it on the screen behind me. And I want you to see this picture. And we did this renovation probably about 7 years ago. And I had a friend of mine from high school who was an amazing artist do all these paintings at that time. And he painted a picture of Jesus. He painted a picture of an eagle and of a lion and of an ox. And this is all just forms of God from the Bible. And so we were in this room, and he gets done painting. You can see the artwork, and it's amazing. And he paints it, and my children are running around the building. And David is a lot younger then. And he walks in the room, and no one, and somehow we captured this moment, you know, just the first time it happened. We had our phones out because we were taking pictures of the paintings already, and we just captured this moment. The first thing my son did when he saw the picture of Jesus, notice what he did. He gets on his tiptoes, and he reaches back up to that hand. And Joe begins to cry, my friend, and it was a moment. I was like, wow, I mean, you know, there's no prodding. There's no, you're the pastor's son, so do this. He just did it. And I want you to see this picture because Matthew 18, verse 3 says, unless you be converted like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. I want to challenge you, if you don't know Jesus today in this room and online, I want to encourage you, he's standing with an open invitation. It's up to us now to reach back and say, I receive it. How about this, though? If you're a seasoned Christian, it means you've been serving Jesus a long time. You've been through a lot of church services. You've seen a lot of different things. You've heard a lot of messages, read a lot of books, and know a lot of information. I believe your challenge will be, will you maintain that childlike response and keep reaching back to Jesus? Because he's standing here with an open invitation. It's just open. It's just like, hey, will you come in? And so we get hit in the heart, you know, and things happen in church. Things happen outside of church. People get, you know, grudges in their heart. They get offense. They get, you know, mad. They, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And they quit church or they stay in church, but they're shut down. And all these layers. And I think our challenge is to stay childlike and realize that Jesus is reaching toward me, and it's my job to reach back to him. And just to keep on saying, Jesus, I'm yours. So I want to challenge you today. If you don't know Jesus, your challenge maybe is just to take a first step and to believe. And say, Jesus, I give you my life. And do that today. Another challenge would be if you're a seasoned Christ follower, if you've been around this for a while, your challenge and my challenge is that we maintain a childlike response. And watch this, that we do not let disappointment, grudges, offense, or any other thing rob us so that now instead of reaching back up to God, we're kind of just, I don't know. Do you remember what happened last time in that other church? Do you remember what happened even here at City? Do you remember what happened? I don't know. I tried that. It didn't work. It's very subtle, isn't it? And it's just, it's saying, God, I see your invitation, and I'm reaching back, and I say, yes, I'm yours. And I want to challenge you today, are you reaching back to Jesus? Are you reaching back to Jesus? Come on, man, let's not argue, politics or doctrine or making our points. Are we reaching back to Jesus? Because he's always reaching out to us. Now, if you notice in this house party, in these verses, notice the emphasis that Jesus makes. I want to break this down for us today. So we know he has an open invitation. He's reaching. Our job is to reach back. In this party, notice Jesus says, I want you to go out into the streets and into the alleyways or the alleys, and I want you to invite as many people as possible. I love that Jesus is saying, go out to where the people are. Even alleys. Think about this. We don't think of going into an alley at night. Our culture is, at nighttime especially, and maybe even in the day, that there's things going on in an alley that are secretive or they're hidden. And so we don't think of, just hanging out in an alley. But I love that Jesus said, go into the streets and the alleys and get people to come. I love the fact that Jesus gives you and I acceptance not based on pedigree, but based on grace. That he accepts all of us where we're at. Please hear me today, because the church, as I have studied it, is really the only movement in the world that is set up to accept everyone as they are. I've preached this before, and there's corporations that are not set up. They are not set up to have everyone work for them. There are sports teams that are set up. Not everyone will make the team. There are schools that are set up. Not everyone will make it into the school. There are all these institutions that are set up, and I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying it's the flow of life. But the church of Jesus, the house party led by Jesus, is one of the only places in the world where anyone can come. And if you're found in the alley, he's going to lift you up out of the alley. If you're on the street corner, he's going to reach for you on the street corner. I think it's so important, again, that no matter where you're at in the journey of your faith, that you and I always keep this childlike heart reaching back to Jesus, that if we're on the street or in the alley, we embrace and say, yes, I'm reaching back. But if we're not on the street or in the alley, we never look down. Because Jesus accepts everyone, and we have to maintain. Please hear me. We have to fight for this. I believe that. I believe churches and individuals have to fight for the heart of God to keep the right posture and perspective that God is so good and that he reaches out for us and we must reach back for him. And he's saying, go out into the streets and the alleys. So Jesus gives acceptance to everyone. Jesus, I believe he loves diversity. Jesus loves all ethnicities. He loves both genders. He loves all types of people in all stages and statuses of life. He welcomes all people around his table, and he doesn't leave anyone out. That's why at City Church, we want to model acceptance, that we make room for everyone. We love diversity. We come to the highest point of unity because this represents heaven. When we get to heaven, we're all going to be together around the throne. We're going to be worshiping God. And you're going to have millionaires stand next to zero-naires. And they're both going to be like, wow, the glory of God. Do you see that? We're not going to worry about how you smell or did you have cool clothes. We're going to be like, the Apostle Paul said that when he went to heaven, there was a silence. There was silence for a half hour. It's so profound. It's just going to be like, And we're going to learn of his grace forever. Notice, spiritually speaking, for you and for me, spiritually speaking, when you and I embrace acceptance and diversity, something happens in our own heart and we become more like Jesus. I always love the story. This family is now back in our church, but they came from China, spoke hardly any English, and husband and wife, and she conceived, and she befriended ladies in our church. And they had a language barrier, but we moved forward, and they had a great time, and they became friends. And then it was time for her to go into labor. And they had no community here outside of the ladies in our church. And they came to the church a little bit, but, they had the language barrier, and it was a challenge. So they had that friendship, But when it was time to go to the hospital, she called the ladies of our church to go with her to the hospital. So here we are. There's a family from China. There's two African-American ladies, and there's a white lady. And they're all going to the hospital together. Then they all go into the room together. And then the doctor's coming in, and the nurses are coming in, looking, and they're like, what? Why are you here? Why are you in this room? And I said, oh, no, we're all friends, and we're all apart. And she said, well, how did you guys know each other? She said, oh, we met at our church. And she said, man, I want to go to a church like that. When you and I model acceptance and diversity, something happens. That child now in that family is in our church. He's in the City Kids. He's learning English and receiving Christ. Folks, hear me. When we model acceptance and diversity, these things sound maybe simple to us, but we can never lose the profound power of the simplicity of Jesus, how it changes lives one heart at a time. Now, notice, spiritually speaking, Jesus said, and this connects to all of us in some way, possibly one of these or all four in this room and online, he said, go get the poor. I'm going to connect this to all of us. I could break this down in different ways, but right now, please hear me. I'm going to connect this spiritually. Go get the poor and bring them into my house. You know, there's some of us in this room right now and online that we don't have enough resources to fix our marriage. We don't have enough power to help our mind be at peace. We don't have enough willpower to change our kids. We don't have the resources or the abundant resources to fix our problem. There's always going to be at some level, just please stay with me, there's always going to be something in our life where we'll say, you know what, I come up short. I don't have the resources to do it. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus does what we can't. That's why I believe, spiritually speaking, he's saying to go get the poor. Some of us today maybe are poor in our marriage. We're poor in our attitude. We're poor in our finance. We're poor in our health. We're poor in our thoughts. We're poor in our past. We're poor in our parenting. We're just hitting a limit. We don't have what we need to really go to the next level. And Jesus comes in. And Jesus can heal what we can't heal. Jesus can touch what we can't touch. Jesus can fix what we can't fix. And so if you find yourself and you're saying, you know, PD, man, I don't have the answers. I can't figure this out. I can't help my spouse. I can't help myself. I can't help my kids. I can't do it. Good. Jesus says, go get you, because he wants you and he can do what you can't do. Do you hear what I'm saying? So he says, go get the poor. Bring them into my house. Then he says, go get the crippled, spiritually speaking. Being crippled in an area of our life. Maybe crippled in a form or in a shape or in a way that we can't move. Maybe because of something we went through. Maybe because something we're going through now. Maybe who knows what. But we just feel crippled. And I love that Jesus loves all of these individuals. He loves all of these issues, and he welcomes all of us into his house. So you may find yourself poor today. Jesus is reaching for you. You may find yourself crippled today. Man, I can't break this addiction. I cannot get out of this pattern. I can't not get out of this reckless lifestyle. I can't get out of this, you know, kind of this emotional, mental cycle. Hear me today. Jesus loves you, and Jesus has invited you into his house to heal you and to do what you can't do, to help you break free and move forward in your faith. Then he says, go get the blind, spiritually blind. Maybe you can't see hope for tomorrow. Maybe you're in this room and online, and you feel like, I do not have hope. And hope is a powerful thing. Hope is one of the three things that will remain forever: faith, hope, and love. And Jesus wants to infuse you and I with hope. Some of us today, maybe in this room and online, are saying, man, I don't have hope for my future. I don't know what's going to happen in my future. I don't believe it's going to work out. I don't know if my marriage is going to work out. I don't know what's going on. Please hear me, that Jesus is reaching with open invitation for you. And he wants the blind to come because he wants to touch our eyes so that we can see what we don't see. So that we can have hope where there is no hope. So that we can have a way where there is no way. God can touch our bodies. He can touch our minds. He can touch our souls. He can heal our past and straighten our present and give hope for the future. Jesus can do anything. And notice the invitation. This invitation can never go, because this is what churches should look like. Churches should look like, obviously, spiritually, physically, all types of ways, but spiritually, poor people are there. The crippled are there. The blind are there. Then he says, go get the lame. And this represents, you know, spiritually, those that are stuck. They're stuck in a memory. They're stuck in a position. They're stuck in a status. They're stuck somewhere in life. They're stuck. And they feel stuck. And some of you today, maybe in this room and online, maybe you feel stuck. You feel like, I can't move forward. Please hear me. Jesus has an open invitation for you to his house party. Because Jesus can cause you to be unstuck and help you take your next step and move forward into what God has for you to be. Here again, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is standing with an open invitation. Challenge is, if you've never received Jesus, will you receive Jesus today? And the challenge for those of you that have received Jesus on an ongoing basis is, will you and I maintain a childlike attitude and reach back up and say, yes, I go into your house and I receive all you have for me. I will not get sidetracked. I will not get bitter. I will not be disappointed. I will not let that rob me. I'm keeping my childlike faith and I'm reaching back to you. Jesus is reaching for you and me today, and you may find yourself in one of these categories. You may find yourself, because there was the street and the alley, and he was saying, go there and find those poor, those crippled, blind, and lame. But notice Jesus doesn't stop there. I'm almost done. He doesn't stop there. He said there was still room in the house, so he said, go out a second time. Actually, a third time. Go out a third time and get more people. Notice, he wants his house full. Jesus loves a full house party. He likes where everything is filled up. That's the heart of God. This is an insight to church. It's an insight to the house party of the earth in God's sight. And of course in heaven, but right now on the earth. And Jesus said, for a third time, notice these final two. He said, go into the country lanes and behind the hedges. Now this obviously speaks, go further out. You know, physically speaking, go further out. Go outside of town. Go outside the city. Go into the rural areas, obviously. But spiritually, what if it means this? The country lanes, I felt this in the Lord. On the peripheral, on the outskirts, kind of where you can't see the roof line from the city. You have to go out a ways to go see, you know, where those people live. And I thought, what if that could mean for us, those that feel disenfranchised, those that feel overlooked by life, those that feel ignored, not accepted in the group, not important in society, just kind of just a number in the crowd, don't stand out, no one cares. A lot of people feel that way. We know by studies, as I've preached before, how we're connected through technology more than ever before in human history, and yet it's proven the number of loneliness and depression and isolation is at an all-time high in America. This, what I'm saying right now, so many people feel this way. And I love that Jesus sees the unseen. And so you may say today, well, no one knows me. No one cares about me. I'm not important. No one cares what I say or think. I'm just kind of just you taking up space as I pass through. Not to Jesus. He's sending an invitation to you in the country lanes. He wants you to come into his house. He sees the unseen. He hears the unheard. He knows what isn't known by others. He knows your secrets. He knows your heart. He knows what you're feeling. He knows you. And he's reaching for you. And he knows the number of hairs on your head, and he planned for you, and he has something for you. And you may not be rich, and you may not be famous, but man, you can go to the house party of God and find acceptance and help in the time of need. And you can find what God wants you to have. And you can live this life with purpose and fulfillment. You don't have to just pass through. You can live with something more than just, you know, punching a time clock. There is something for us in our faith that is greater than what we know. And then notice the terminology in this version. He says, go into the country lanes. And then he says, go behind the hedges. But go behind the hedges. That's a bush, some type of shrubbery. I love that because to me, as I read this, as the Lord was speaking to me about my own life, this speaks to me of us hiding from God. Hiding behind the shrubs, the hedges. I don't want God to see me. No one can know my secret. No one can know that my wife is struggling. No one can know that my husband is really struggling at home. No one can know that my children, I can't do that. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. No one can know that I'm struggling in my faith. I'm going to hide behind the hedges. Got to perform and be strong. Even the temptation to stand up for wrong because you feel if you would stand up against it, you'd be ostracized. Hide behind the hedges. I know that's not right, but I can't speak to it because if I do, my family will disown me. Or my wife will get mad, or my husband will get mad, or whatever. So we're hiding behind the hedges. And I love the fact that Jesus sees through the hedges. And he's reaching for us right where we stand. And he wants us to overcome shame and embarrassment. He wants us not to do this like Adam and Eve did when they fell. He wants us to come out from behind the hedges and say, God, oh yeah, you're reaching for me. There's an open invitation for me. So I'm going to reach back for you. And I'm going to go into your house. And I'm going to receive what you have. And I want to encourage you today. This one I'm preaching right here, it doesn't matter where you're at in the journey of your faith. I know this is a temptation for all of us. To want to hide, and especially in American culture, because we're an individualistic culture. We do it on our own. We're our own man, our own woman. That's not biblical. And we're tempted just to hide in shame or whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, go behind the hedges and get them, because I want them in my house. Nothing embarrasses Jesus. Hear me. Nothing embarrasses Jesus. He receives you and I, and he has the power to change you and I. I would argue that the pinnacle of our faith, and I have commentary books. I say this a lot, so please hear me in balance. I have commentary books. I study. I love history. I'm watching boring series on TV right now, The Civil War. My wife is like, what are you doing? And I make my boys watch it. And I watch The West, you know, and I watch 8-part series of the Roosevelt. I like that stuff. So I'm boring. Amen. But the pinnacle of our faith isn't necessarily knowledge. The pinnacle of our faith is to become more like Jesus. Now, knowledge helps us to have that. But even above knowledge is my son in that picture. That's what causes this to happen. I'm changed when I reach back and say, you're reaching for me? I'm reaching for you, Jesus. I'm poor. You know, one of the churches in Revelation, in closing, the Bible says about them, he says that you say you're not poor. And you say you have need of nothing. And Jesus rebuked them. Got to be careful to say that I don't need anything. I'm good. It's not true. I need more of God. How about you? Say, I'm crippled. I'm lame. I'm blind. I feel unseen. I feel totally neglected. I feel I'm hiding behind the hedges. I want to encourage you today. Jesus is sending invitations to you and to me to join the house party of heaven right now in the earth. There is healing in his house. There's forgiveness in his house. There's new beginnings in his house. There is hope in his house. There is peace in his house. There is love in his house. There's acceptance in his house. There's deliverance in his house. There's new beginnings. Come on. There's a new mind. And I put down here, there's power in his house. I'm almost done. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a woman that came to Jesus and said, "Heal my daughter." And he didn't receive her. And she kept on saying, no, I'm coming into this house party. I'm getting in. One way I'm going to drag my daughter, I'm going to drag myself. And she said this statement, "Even the dogs get the crumbs around the master's table." And Jesus said, "Great is your faith. Your daughter shall be whole." What she was saying is that in the house party of Jesus, there's power in a crumb of God's bread to change our life, to turn us around, to do something fantastic that we can't do by ourselves. I want to encourage you today to be like, you may feel like a dog. You may feel like no one cares about you, but there's a master in heaven, and he has bread for all people. And if you just get a crumb, your marriage can be changed. If you just get a crumb, your mind can be at peace. If you just get a crumb, he can heal your past. If you just get a crumb, he can set your future. He can set your path. If you just get a crumb, he can heal your broken body. He can heal your womb. He can heal your life. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise today. There's room for you. Come on, worship Jesus. There's room in the master's house. There's room for you. We don't need a whole lot, just a crumb. If you don't mind, look up to heaven physically, if you don't mind. You can raise your hand. You don't have to, but I pray for everyone in this room and online that we would receive the invitation of heaven, that we would not let pride rob us of reality, but rather we would give you our reality. And we come into your house party and we receive the bread of heaven. We receive the love of God. We receive all that you provided. And we will not resist the invitation. Even if some of us have gone in the invitation, we've accepted at one time, but we're far from you. I pray that we would humble ourselves like a child and go back into the house party one more time. I pray we would not resist, we would not delay, we would not make excuses. We would run into your house and receive all that you have for us. We would not miss a moment of who you are. Jesus, we're yours. As our heads are bowed, our hearts are bowed to the Lord today. You in this room and online, you would say today, "Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus. I've never called on Jesus to be my Savior." You would say, "I've never done that, and I want to do it today." Others of us could say, "Man, I have done that. I called on Jesus. But man, right now, I am so far from God. I know it. I feel it, and I need him." If that's you today, either one of those, if that's you today, and you feel that in your life, this is your moment. Come on, receive the invitation of heaven. And you've never done this, or you have, but you're far from him, and you want to reconnect. If that's you right now, raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. People coming to Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. And you would say today, "Pastor Dave, I find myself in some area of my life, I find myself, spiritually speaking now, I find myself I'm poor. I find myself crippled. I'm blind. I'm lame. Maybe I'm in the country lanes. I feel unseen. Maybe I feel like I'm hiding, and I want to stop that. I want to come. I want to receive you. I want to receive Jesus today." If that's you and you feel that right now, go and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you in this room. Thank you. God bless you. Hands up. Hands up. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, "Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I run to you. Be my Savior. I give you me. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit. And I receive your invitation. Heal me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." Come on, let's give him one more hand clap of praise. I believe God's doing that for us individually.